First of all, I lived in Sandpit Lane before my mum and dad got a council house, and then they moved to 10 Nuns Lane.
Nuns Lane?
Yeah, when I was about two.
Well, the house is new when you've come?
Brand new. Number 10 was at the end, and there was just a grassy bank, but now there's some houses or low-level bungalows for elderly people there. They weren't there then. And Cotton Mill Lane, all the houses were a bit under construction. And I can't really remember them being built because I was very young at the time.
Okay, and that's where we come to this thunderbolt incident. Now, you tell me that you lived in the house that was struck by the thunderbolt.
Definitely.
Okay, could you now tell me when it was and what you remember?
All I can remember was in the afternoon, and my mum tells me that she put me upstairs to have a rest.
How old were you then?
I would say I was about three, because I think it was in 1949 and I was three.
You were three?
Yeah.
So you don't actually remember it?
No.
But your mum does?
Yeah.
Is your mum still alive?
No.
What did she used to say about it?
She just said that the house was struck and I was in bed and the fire brigade were called, and I believe it was the fire brigade got me out because it was on fire. And I do remember slightly there was a big black patch in the roof, mm-hmm. You know, where it was all burned. And the house was doused with water and we couldn't live there. And fortunately, there was a house just finished, the first house in Cotton Mill Lane, coming up the hill from the mill, which was the first house on the right. Number 161 was just complete. And so the council moved us into that one, and we never went back.
Did the house get occupied again, or what?
Yes, after it was repaired, it could.
So you lived in Cotton Mill Lane from then on, wasn't it?
161. Near the mill. Yeah, that house had a very large house next to it, which belonged to the manager of the mill.
You remember that house?
Oh, yeah.
Could you describe it?
Yeah, it was a very, very large house. It had a separate garage, double garage, with gates, two lots of gates. One for the garage, and there was gates further down, I believe, and a big orchard. And a guy called Silverton lived there.
Mr. Silverton?
Yeah.
And he was a manager at the mill?
Yes.
That's interesting. I've heard tales of this house. Yeah. People tell me about scrumping in the garden.
Oh, I did all that.
You did all that as well?
Yeah, and then once the mill finished, because the mill was in operation when I was down in Cotton Mill Lane, because we used to go and get the corn, you know, for pea shooters and things like that, where they tipped it in the hopper type thing, which was the side of the mill, it jutted out from the road, as you went round the bend towards the mud house. There was always loads of grains of corn left on the floor, and we used to go and pick them up for pea shooters. And then the spillers lorries used to come and take the flour away.
Did you play around there often?
All the time.
What did you do?
Get in the river.
Yeah?
Always getting wet feet.
How deep was the river there? Which bit did you play in?
I played in mostly around by the mill.
Where the mill stream comes in?
No, where the bridge is on Cotton Mill Lane, just round there. And you could get in there and you could cross there. And it was up to kind of your knees, you know. If there'd been a lot of rain, sometimes it's much lower down. It's not much lower there than it was when I was. It is lower, but not terrifically lower. There were two streams coming in, one from the sluice gates at the side of the mill. Mm-hmm. And then the other part that came from the watercress beds. Mr. Lee had the watercress beds.
Did you know Mr. Lee?
No, I was chased a few times by him.
What were you doing then to be chased?
Oh, getting into the watercress beds, you know, just having a look around, messed about, climbing trees, yeah, and all that. Also, there was a bridge there which took pipes, big, huge pipes, across, which came out onto the golf course. And there's a ridge on the golf course where the pipes go underneath. And this bridge was like a cantilever effect. We used to get on the side of that. We could get right across to the golf course by climbing across, you see. But he used to chase us off if he was there. Because he was farming the watercress. He had a little black car which used to go up a track, which he entered at the bottom of Cotton Mill Lane, where it just bends round into the lane. There's an entrance. He used to take his car in there and wind round. through the trees, there was a sort of tracks, like two wheels
mm-hmm.
went right through, when he drove right into the field, right along the river, side of the river.
By the golf course.
Nearly to the golf course end, yeah.
Do you remember anything about the second thunderbolt?
Yes, I believe the second thunderbolt hit the house further down the road, on the other side, which was number 5, which is opposite 22.
Did you see it?
No, I just remember my dad saying, got to be that Bolton Burrows, you know, because Burrows lived in their house.
That's what you said.
And they had a telly. No one else had tellies. This was prior to 1953, because the coronation was time. We got a telly to watch it, yeah, and everybody who was going to get a telly had one then, but prior to that, nobody had them. But he had one. He had one in 1950, you know, or even when our house was struck, because he worked in the shop that sold them.
In Bolton Burrows.
Mm. Yeah, which was in Verham Road, opposite those restaurants now.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was quite a big shop. I used to go in there.
And you reckon that the lightning struck the aerial?
Yeah. I'm pretty certain it wasn't number 10 where I lived. It was the other side.
Oh, it might have been. People have thought it was the same place because it was opposite then, or nearly opposite.
Well, almost opposite, yeah. It was probably 50 or 60 yards down the road.
Yeah, what are the odds of two thunderbolts hitting the same street within a few houses of each other?
Yeah. I think, you know, they've got an aerial sticking up. And I don't know. That's what my dad seemed to think. It was his dodgy telly, he used to say, but the telly weren't dodgy.
It was the aerial, I would have thought.
Yeah.